If you're a breakfast time listener, the WILL, you should know the name Jeremy Hobson. He's the anchor of the Marketplace Morning Report, which airs here at 6:50 and 7:50 a.m. He's been with Marketplace since 2007. But Jeremy Hobson makes a big transition coming in June. He'll join Robin Young to co-host the Boston-based Midday Magazine program Here and Now, which will be coming to the AM 580 schedule. Jeremy Hobson is the guest today on Focus, and we'll be talking about his experiences with Marketplace and the new challenges he'll be taking on at Here and Now. But there's more to talk about. Jeremy has a history with WILL. He's an Urbana native, and in his formative years, he worked on several WILL radio productions as a college student, a high school kid, even as a nine-year-old. I'm Jim Meadows. We'll talk with Jeremy Hobson on Focus right after the news. Good morning. I'm Jim Meadows, and this is Focus. Jeremy Hobson's resume includes stints at public radio stations along the East Coast and jobs at NPR's All Things Considered and American Public Media's Marketplace. And that's where he now anchors the Marketplace Morning Report. But here at WILL, we know Jeremy Hobson as a co-worker, a young co-worker. Worked here as a college student in 2000 and 2001 and at various projects way before that. So Jeremy's public radio background goes back a long way, and now he's about to take on a new job as the next co-host with Robin Young of Here and Now, which is coming to NPR and coming to the AM 580 schedule in June. Jeremy Hobson, welcome to Focus.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. For folks out there who may not be familiar with it, Here and Now has been on public radio for quite some time, but it hasn't been on WILL. Could you fill us in on what the program's about?
Yeah, it's a news magazine. It's kind of like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. It's more interview-focused, less sort of reported pieces are on the show right now, although that may change to some degree as we sort of update it as it enters its new era with two hosts. It has at times had two hosts, and one host, Robin Young, has been there all along. She's a well-known, very smart, very very wonderful media personality in the Boston area. A lot of people who grew up in Boston know Robin Young going way back from days on television, but she's been anchoring Here and Now for the last, 12 years, and I'll join her starting July 1st, and it's going to be a 2-hour news magazine in the middle of the day. We'll cover the news as the news happens. They've done a great job in the last week, for example, covering the Boston bombings. But also we'll have arts and culture and business news and foreign news, and we'll try to really bring a nice mix of stories each day.
Thanks for making the point about the date. I had said June, but of course Here and Now will you'll be joining it in July, and it'll come to the AM 580 schedule in July as well. Jeremy, you've been working mornings now for quite some time. Is there a different sensibility in how you think people want to hear news content in the middle of the day compared to crack of dawn?
It's a good question, because I think mornings, and I have loved doing mornings. For one thing, I think you have a more intimate connection to the listener in the morning. I often hear from people that they listen to me while they're taking a shower every day. They shower with me every day, that they wake up with me, that they're having their coffee or they're driving to work with me each day. And I really like that. And in the morning, you haven't heard all the news already. By the time you get to the evening, I think a lot of the shows need to be a little more analytical because you've been consuming news, whether in the newspaper or on the radio or on television or on the internet or on your mobile device all day long. You kind of know the basic facts of what's happened, and you want to get analysis in the evening. And I think that the middle of the day is probably closer to the morning than it is to the evening, but it's a mix. I think that there's going to have to be probably more sort of thoughtful analysis of what's going on. But a lot of stories happen. They break in the middle of the day. I mean, I think that if you look at the amount of presidential press conferences or just big stories that happen, they tend to happen around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they get covered that evening on the news. So I think we're going to be dealing with a lot of news as it happens, and I think that's one of the things that NPR and WBUR want to do with this is be a little quicker to react to things when they happen and be able to really reshuffle what we're doing on the show as things happen.
So that creates a new opportunity for you, Jeremy. I've heard you on Marketplace Morning Report. You've interviewed some pretty important people in the world of business, but I got to admit, when I hear those interviews, I just have this certain awareness the clock is ticking, so to speak, because you only have so much time.
Right. I mean, we have seven and a half minute shows each morning, and yeah, you don't have that much time. One of the things that we've tried to do with the Marketplace Morning Report, and I don't think it's even been on for that many years on WILL, so maybe the listeners aren't familiar with what it was like before. But one of the things that I've tried to do is, if we have an interview that warrants going 7.5 minutes and taking up the whole show, we'll do it. We did it with Warren Buffett. We did it with Richard Branson. There are some interviews that I feel like should go that full length. But also, yes, I mean, most of the time when you hear an interview that I'm doing with somebody, it's on the air for 2-3 minutes. This is going to be, you know, we're going to be filling 2 hours a day. There's going to be a lot more to do. Which is, you know, it's a challenge. I think in some cases it'll be great. In some cases it's probably going to, you know, as we're doing these interviews, we're going to feel like, you know, this could have been 2 minutes long and we've got to fill up six. But that's the way it goes, I guess.
Now, this Here and Now is produced out of WBUR in Boston. And is this a bit of a homecoming for you? Because I think you've worked there some years back.
Right. I went to I did most of my college education in Boston, and while I was there, I went in very early after I got to Boston. I went in to go and meet some people at WBUR, which, for those who know Boston, there are two big public radio stations in Boston, WBUR and WGBH. So I had been introduced to go and meet the news director at WBUR to see if there was something that I could do. And as I'm coming out of his office, I run into Alex Ashlock, who, of course, also used to work at WILL. I knew him from Urbana. And he said, we're looking for a production assistant for Morning Edition on WBUR. And would you like to come in? So then I started going in at 4 o'clock in the morning or 3:45 or something like that a couple days a week while I was in college. And doing that, and ended up staying there for my entire time at school. So yeah, it is a little bit of a homecoming. I went to see some of the staff of Here and Now recently, and I saw that I knew about half of them already. So that was great.
And I should note that Alex Ashlock, formerly of WILL News, is a producer director on Here and Now. So you'll be working with him again.
That's right. We're going to have a Central Illinois Mafia on Here and Now.
It's part of our plan for world domination.
For world domination, exactly.
Here and Now is also, you know, it's a one-hour daily show as we speak. It becomes a two-hour show, and it becomes an NPR WBUR co-production. How is the co-production part supposed to work out?
Yeah, this is a unique thing for NPR to do, which is to join up with a public radio station to produce a show that will have the NPR name on it. It will have access to NPR reporters and bloggers and the resources of NPR, but it will be a WBUR production, which is one of the things that I really like about it. I mean, I as you mentioned, I spent a lot of time at All Things Considered in Washington years ago, and I find that a lot of the news that we get these days is very Washington-centric and very, as a result, political. And I think that the fact that this show is going to be done out of Boston, which, yes, it's in the Northeast, bubble, but it's not in the Northeast bubble the way that New York or Washington, D.C. are. And I think that that will allow it to have this sort of outside perspective on some of the stories and not get wrapped up in the same political back and forth that I feel like a lot of the kind of mainstream media do.
We're talking to Jeremy Hobson here on Focus. Jeremy Hobson of Marketplace Morning Report, and coming in July, he'll be the new co-host at Here and Now, joining the AM 580 schedule from noon to 2. If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455, and you can email your question to us at will-talk@illinois.edu. However, there is another phone number and another place to go online we want to talk about for just a few minutes. We're in the midst of our spring fund drive here on WILL. And joining me in the studio now are Heather Miller and Kimberly Cronick to talk about that.
Yes, Jim. We are doing real well. We're more than halfway there toward our goal of raising $120,000. And when you help us do that, that means this on-air drive is over, which is great. And we won't have another one until October. But we need to raise that $120,000. And as Jim said, the number to call for a pledge is 244-9455. Or you can go online, willpledge.org. And we know that Focus is one of those programs that people want us to continue to do. We know that you appreciate thoughtful analysis. You like the fact that we talk to a guest for an entire hour or a couple of guests, that we go deep into a subject. This is a tradition here at WILL, and we'd like to help you help us preserve that by making a call right now. And with me is Heather Miller.
That's right. And you can help pay for the programs that you're enjoying, like this interview with Focus and Jim and Jeremy's conversation, with a pledge call, 217-244-9455. It's very easy to do. You're going to be asked your name, your address, how you want to pay for your pledge, whether or not you want a thank you gift, and you're off the phone and on your way, and you know you've supported your local access to interesting and intriguing guests. I remember Jeremy when he was here many years ago. It was a lot of fun having him here, and I'm just thrilled that he's made such a wonderful success of his radio career. So hats off to him and WILL as being a place for that to start. We encourage your support so that perhaps we can do that for someone else. The number again is 217-244-9455.
And you know, Heather, we ask the listener, you, to just pledge what you can afford. We're not asking you to break your budget. We're asking you to figure out what it is that you value in this show and how much you can afford to help pay for it, not only for yourself, Heather, but for other people who can't afford to contribute, to provide this service to everyone. We're talking about a new show that's coming to WILL mm-hmm. in July, Here and Now, with hosts Jeremy Hobson and Robin Young. It'll
I'm
be a two-hour show
that.
Live. We think it'll be something that our listeners enjoy. It'll be a great companion to Focus earlier in mm-hmm. the day. So we're thinking of you when we make these programming decisions. We're thinking about what kind of news and information you need, both nationally, internationally, and regionally. We make those decisions with you in mind. We're asking you to support that service right now. WillPledge.org. You can go online and make that contribution, or you can also call 244-9455.
Absolutely. We encourage your support in this moment to make this possible. This is Tipping Point Wednesday here at WILL. We've hit that fork in the road. Are we going to make our goal, or are we just going to kind of putter along? And we've had great response today. So you can be a part of that. You can tip the balance in favor of shorter pledge drives, more efficient use of our on-air time, and then back to interesting guests that we have with your pledge call right now, 217-244-9455. Join us and tip the balance.
And we have a person who called in, Richard. We thank you for your pledge. That's great.
Excellent.
We love to get those. We're only pitching Focus twice this week, and so it really counts for you to make a pledge now and show your support for Focus, which comes to you 5 days a week, an hour a week, a day. It's your opportunity to call in and interact with these ideas, with our guests. We know that you value the service. We hear about it all the time, how much you value Focus. We're asking you now to make that contribution, 244-9455 or willpledge.org. And we're going to go back now to Jim and Jeremy.
Thank you, Heather and Kimberly. And this is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. And we're talking with Jeremy Hobson, who will be the new co-anchor on Here and Now, coming to the AM 580 daytime schedule in July. Right now, he is the anchor for Marketplace Morning Report. You've been in the anchor at the anchor seat for about how long now?
Almost 3 years now. I came in 2010.
And you had been with the program before that, I think, dating back with Marketplace to around 07.
Yeah, I came in 07 as a reporter in the Marketplace Washington Bureau and then came up to the New York Bureau as a Wall Street reporter a week before Lehman Brothers collapsed, which was fun. and then I did that for, a couple of years and then started anchoring Marketplace Morning Report in 2010.
You do have being in the interesting position of working for a business news program at a time when the economy went haywire, and I'm not even quite sure if it's done yet.
Yeah, well, I don't think it is done yet, but it was a really it was an interesting experience. I mean, I did not have a business background. I think maybe I took two economics classes in college. I was a radio guy, I was a journalist, I was a storyteller all along, and when I really sort of grew up in business reporting was when I got to New York and all of that started to unravel. I was learning about each day as I was leading off the Marketplace programs with my reports, had to kind of learn about whatever the topic of the day was. I remember when AIG collapsed, and I had just been in New York for a few weeks and was just getting my feet wet. And I got a call from my editor one evening, and he says, "Jeremy, we need you to come in at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning to cover the collapse of AIG. And we need you to just explain what's going on, what it is, and all of that." And we have a little 10-minute conversation about this. And I said, "All right, I'm down. I'm ready to go. I'll be there at 4 a.m. Quick question: what is AIG?" So I had to learn that. As I went, it was a trial by fire, but as a result of having learned through that all the things that were going on in 2008, 2009, there's almost no topic in business news at this point that I haven't at least covered a little bit. So that helps me out a lot in the anchor chair.
I'm going to go ahead and take a caller now and say hello on line one to Scott in Lovington. You're on the air on Focus.
Hi, I've got I guess it's probably a financial question about pay and stuff and NPR and PBS in general. I keep having discussions with my Fox listening friends, and one of the things they'll bring up a lot of times is, Fox is in the middle and PBS is left wing, and it's all a conspiracy by the government, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, I was just curious, what would you guess? I know you know what your own pay is, but what would you guess the comparison would be between the public system and the private system as far as cost?
In terms of salaries paid?
Salaries, cost of production, I would guess would probably be about the same with programming, but I don't have a clue. I really don't know. I was just curious, and a lot of people that basically look to Fox for their truth seem to think that somebody's paying a bunch of money for PBS to influence poor miserable people like me who believe it. I was just curious what you might compare the cost of running this organization compared to commercial ones.
Well, I do have a membership coordinator and a director of community content right next to me who might have answers here, as well as Jeremy Hobson over at Marketplace. I'm going to take my stab with the vaguest of answers, and that is that nobody in public broadcasting gets paid huge amounts of money unless they are actually working for private businesses, which may have contracts with public broadcasting. I think there are actually some salary caps in place in public organizations like NPR and PBS. However, I know just by the way that the business is done here, NPR News is very labor intensive. They've made the decision that they're going to spend money on reporters and producers who are out there getting news and putting together content. I think that for the commercial, for instance, commercial cable news channels, a lot of their business is built around stars of some of their programs who, just as individuals, are very expensive.
Yeah, I read Dan Rather's book, and I believe he, you know, I think he said what he was getting. He did say what he was getting, because when he got dropped, he started actually having to think about how much money I think he was budgeting, but tremendous amount of money. Of course, he's a superhero star, like, you know, you were saying, so it's probably, you know, a lot more than the next guy was even making. But
I'm reminded, Heather Miller just passed me a note. NPR News, just for starters, has 17 news bureaus around the world. For a radio organization especially, that is a lot, but that is a particular investment NPR decided to make, decided they were able to make, not so much about from the government funding they receive, and they do receive some from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and indirectly from local public radio stations, some of which are owned by, well, for instance, state universities, which are government organizations. But to a large degree, private funding, some of it quite substantial.
Hey, remind me again, what percentage does the government pay now?
Now that's the sort of thing I'm going to punt over to my membership coordinator, and she's giving me that deer in the headlights look. And unless Jeremy Hobson can help me there, I'm going
You know, I think that, first of all, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I also think that all this stuff is public. I mean, you can go online and see exactly what the Corporation for Public Broadcasting gives to these organizations. So that's one thing that that would help. The other thing, though, I think that I would point out is the way that the business model works in public broadcasting is that all of the profits, if you will, if there are any, go back into the product, whereas an NBC or a Fox or something like that, they're making profits. They're out to make profits, which, not that there's anything wrong with that, but right, our business model is not built in that way. So, you know, the growth of NPR's foreign coverage, the growth of NPR's domestic coverage, and the growth of various shows on public radio and of stations that are being able to add reporters at a time when newspapers and TV stations are cutting, is a result of them taking the money that they are making and putting it back into creating a better product for the public.
I do have a couple of figures here. 40% of our support here at WILL comes from our listeners and local businesses. The federal tax support for public broadcasting nationwide comes out to about $1.35 per person. And as far as I think spending in the federal government, it's under 1%.
Well, I could ask you a lot more questions and keep you forever, but I think I'll hang up. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling. And I would welcome all of those interesting questions for a week from Friday when we have a Talk to the Managers program here on Focus, and I hope they know the answers to those questions. We'll certainly give them fair warning when they're on Focus. That's a week from Friday. Let's take a short break now, and we'll be back to talk with more about with Jeremy Hobson. But I think that short break is going back to Kimberly and Heather.
Yes, we'd like to encourage you again to pledge during our spring pledge drive. We want to raise $120,000 by Friday, and we are a little bit more than halfway there because of your contributions. So if you haven't yet pledged, now's a great time to support this local program, Focus, and we're talking about bringing Here and Now with a Urbana native Jeremy Hobson. So another reason to pledge. We're making it a full circle. The talent that comes from here is obvious to you. The kinds of programs we bring are of the quality and the trust level of those programs are worth supporting. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
Or make a contribution online at willpledge.org. Every pledge counts. Every dollar donated goes toward our total. The drive ends when you decide it does. But we're at Tipping Point Wednesday. We're in that fork in the road moment. Which way are we going to go? That's up to you and whether or not you participate. And we hope you will with your pledge call right now, 217-244-9455. How much should you pledge? Again, that's also up to you. Take a look at your budget. Think about what you use in this service, what it means to you, and then make that call. 217-244-9455.
And we have some good news, Heather. During this 10 o'clock hour, we have already had 4 different people pledge, which is great.
That's fantastic.
We are now over more than $62,000 raised.
Oh,
which
that is
great.
Good news.
So let's keep that momentum going.
Absolutely.
Let's keep it going. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
We're back on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows here in WYLL with Jeremy Hobson of Marketplace Morning Report. And beginning in July, he'll be the new co-host of Here and Now, joining our AM 580 schedule. But right now, I want to play a piece of audio from, I think, one of the first times you were ever on WYLL, Jeremy.
Uh-oh.
And we're talking about a program that ran here in the 1990s. It was a program for kids called Treehouse Radio. We're going to hear just a short clip featuring the two co-hosts of that program. The first person to speak is named Chris, and Jeremy is second.
Hello, and welcome to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen. I'm Chris, and today I'm hosting the show with Jeremy.
Hitabelle the cat is at the control board.
The song we just played was called Fire of Change, and it was sung by the Smith Sisters.
It was about the first trees to change color in the fall.
And it was about people who changed, too.
We're sorry we got off to a slow start with the show.
It was raining. We couldn't even find the right tree. And even when we did, we're soaked.
Anyway, Jeremy Hobson and Chris, I'm sorry, I don't know his last name.
I'm sure that's Chris Jekyll, who's a good friend of mine.
Okay. Tell me about this program. Now, I can just tell you that as a WILL employee who's been here since 2000, I can walk down the hall towards the newsroom and see a framed poster for this program. But otherwise, I really know nothing about us. Tell us about Treehouse Radio.
Well, and the framed poster, by the way, I was given another copy of that, which is hanging up in my office here in New York City right now, and will travel with me, I'm sure, up to my office in Boston. But I was in third or fourth grade at Leal School, and Sherry Lynn, who was producing Treehouse Radio at the time, came into our class and wanted to have the students write some radio dramas, and we all did, and she selected one that I had written and brought me on to do it on Treehouse Radio, and then I just started contributing to the show and occasionally hosting it. And I honestly don't remember all that much about what we did. I remember a couple of key things, one of which is that I got to interview Dave Barry when he was in town in Champaign-Urbana. And my friend, who I just saw the other day, by the way, who occasionally hosted the show also, Katie Schrepfer, got to interview Hillary Clinton. And this was back in 1992, when Bill Clinton was running for president, and Hillary came through Champaign-Urbana, and Katie got to interview Hillary, and I was very jealous of that. But the Dave Barry one was fun as well.
Okay. I think we, as a matter of fact, we have recently rediscovered the Hillary Clinton audio.
Uh-huh.
We'll be on the lookout for the Dave Barry piece as
right.
well. What was it like being on the radio at the age of 9?
I remember sitting in the old WILL studios, which were in the communications building on the quad.
Gregory Hall.
Right?
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. So I remember sitting in that studio so nervous that I was pulling the little carpeting out of the desk, because for people who haven't been in a radio studio, oftentimes there's something on the surfaces to make it, the sound sound a little bit better in the studio. So there was like a carpet on the desk, and I was pulling it out because I was nervous as I was doing this. But it was really cool. I mean, you know, I kind of knew at a very young age that this is something that I had a real interest in doing, being on the radio. And so I went in and did Treehouse Radio, and it was a thrill. And I remember as a kid that what I really wanted to do was go in during like a big severe storm when you guys were giving out the severe storm warnings and the tornado watches and all that, because I thought that was so exciting to see that little red light go off when all the big alerts started to come in. It was great. I mean, it was. I remember even before I started working at WILL, I was obsessed with the local oldies station in town, and somebody gave me a tour of that studio, and I used to take up a good hour's worth of their Saturday night oldies request night that they did, just because I just wanted to listen to the radio, be on the radio. It was what I loved as a kid.
It's interesting, that sort of romance that radio can convey for some people. And of course, with someone in your position, there's a lot of different media you could be reporting the news on, but you've kept with radio all this time.
Yeah, I think that there's as you say, there's an intimate connection that you have with the listener, because they're talking to you. And one of the things that people should listen for, and I try to not do on the radio, is ever say good morning everyone, or to refer to the audience, even though my show right now has 6 million people listening to it every week, but I am thinking of the audience as the one person just like me on the other end of the radio, waking up in their bed or making coffee or in the shower or in the car. You're having a one-on-one conversation with somebody, and I think that's what makes radio feel a little bit different than television or any other media.
Well, I'm going to fast forward a few more years to another piece of audio, and this is not Treehouse Radio. But I think this is around your college years when you were doing some reporting here for WYLL. This is a clip off a story where you were covering an appearance in Champaign by then the infamous white supremacist Matt Hale.
About half of the crowd left less than an hour into the speech as a sign of protest. But fewer people in the auditorium didn't make it much easier for Hale to get his message out. Just under 30 police officers stood along the walls of the auditorium, and the handful of Hale's followers that attended sat in a section of the room by themselves. Over 100 police officers in total were on hand for the event, but police say no arrests were made. I'm Jeremy Hobson, AM 580 News.
And I think that's about 2001.
Yeah, actually, Jim, I think that amazingly was either the day before or 2 days before 9/11, because I remember doing. I think it was September 10th, 2001, that took place. And the next day, obviously, when everything changed, I was brought in that day to do a story about the lines at the gas stations in Champaign-Urbana. After the attacks in New York and Washington, the gas prices went up to $5 a gallon, which now these days seems normal, but at the time it was only $1 a gallon for gas or something. They went up to $5 just in a matter of hours, and there were huge lines at all of the gas stations in town, and I had to come and do what I think was the first live report I ever did on WILL.
What I remember about that time was how irrelevant somebody like Matt Hale seemed after those attacks occurred. He was someone who was considered very disturbing whenever he was in town, but the next time he appeared, he just drew a lot less attention.
Yeah, it was. You know, now listening back to that story, I would probably do it very differently today if I did it. But I think you can hear, as a young reporter, you know, I wanted to be very careful about trying to be. I don't know if fair is the word, but I didn't want to, you know, there's nothing terribly that in the words that I say in that story, there's nothing terribly daring of me. It's just a very, this is what happened. This is how many people were there. This is where the police were. This is, and it's interesting. These days, I think I'm much more confident and willing to go out on a limb.
Well, it's interesting. I'm thinking of you as the kid who was listening to the old WKIO, Oldies 92. That's one part of radio, but you ended up working in the news part of radio. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I think that they went kind of hand in hand. There was, on the one side, I was getting very into the connection that one has that we just spoke about with radio and the. Just that personal connection with the person on the other end of the radio. On the other side of it, I was becoming a real news junkie. And I remember, you know, watching CNN on big days when big things were happening and just trying to consume as much news as I could. And so when I finally pieced those two things together, and I think a lot of that was with this Uni High WILL project that got started when I was at Uni High as a sub freshman. We did this piece with Holocaust survivors, and I started to understand the power of radio, and you know, I remember getting an email, or I guess at the time, I don't know if it was an email, maybe somebody called in and said that they had to pull over after hearing this piece that I had worked on because they were crying in their car. And I that had never occurred to me that could happen. And I think after that, I realized that, you know, this really was an incredibly powerful medium, and you could do so much with it. And I think that drew me over more to the news side of things.
We're talking with Jeremy Hobson here on Focus Today. He's an Urbana native who is currently the anchor of the Marketplace Morning Report, which airs weekdays on WILL. And beginning in July, he'll be the co-host with Robin Young of Here and Now, which will be joining the AM 580 schedule from noon to 2. And if you'd have a question or comment for Jeremy, call us at 333-9455 or call toll-free at 800-222-9455 or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Now, there was also a period, I understand, that you, before going to Marketplace, that you worked for NPR News as well.
Yeah, I was a producer. After I spent my college years at WBUR in Boston and started doing some reporting, after I graduated college, about 6 months later, I got an offer to come down to Washington and work with All Things Considered at NPR. And I had been an intern there in between high school and college for a year. So they knew me, and they brought me back down. And I started as a producer, and I spent a good, I think, three years as a producer for All Things Considered, as well as for a midday show that they did called Day to Day, as well as for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in Chicago. And learned the production side, which I think probably drives my producers now crazy, because I try to produce all of my own interviews. but it was definitely helpful to learn kind of how radio worked from behind the scenes, which is incredibly important. I mean, I think people don't realize how much work goes on to make everything work and to make everything sound good in the end. But a lot of that work is a result of the producer, and I was able to learn that by doing that for a few years.
I thought I had read that you had done some work on election night in 2000 in Florida for NPR?
No, I was not in Florida. I was at NPR's election headquarters in Washington, but we were, you know, when it was very close in Florida, they had us calling precincts to find out what we could in Florida. So it was a weekend. I was at the University of Illinois as a freshman. This was in 2000, and I was invited out by friends at NPR to come and help out in the election central at NPR News on election night. And so I went there and worked on that. And, yeah, it turned out to be quite a time to be covering an election.
That must have been a long day, trying to keep track of those folks in Florida.
A long few weeks, I think. I mean, I flew back to Urbana the next day, but I think that Election Central in the NPR headquarters didn't get torn down for a couple of months.
Well, we have another caller in line one, Greg in Champaign. You're on the air on Focus.
Hi there. I just want to give a compliment to Jeremy. I've always enjoyed Marketplace.
Thank you.
Also, just want to talk about the connection. I'm here in Champaign-Urbana, and my son is a sub-freshman at Uni High School and loving it. And so I'm just glad to find out those things about you, and I look forward to your new show.
Fantastic. Thank you. None of this would have happened. I know that it sort of sounds cliche, but none of this would have happened. I wouldn't have been able to reach the place where I am, which makes me very happy to be able to do Marketplace Morning Report and soon Here and Now, without my education at Uni High, and even before that at Leal, and to have learned radio from people like Dan Simeone and Sherry Lynn and Jay Pierce and WILL, it was just a great place to – Champaign-Urbana is the kind of place that, you know, if you take advantage of the opportunities that are there, you're in a world-class place. And, it really was a launching pad for me, and I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I feel exactly the same way about Champaign-Urbana. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. And, you know, with those inspiring words, I want to go back to Heather and Kimberly to talk just a little bit about where we are in our spring fund drive.
We're doing very well, Jim. I want to thank people. During the 10 o'clock hour, we've had 7 people call in and make up contribution. That's wonderful. We are at $62,570 raised. That's great. Your call will get us up above the $63,000 level. Yet this morning during Focus, call 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. I want to thank Diane from Mahomet, Joanna from Terre Haute, David from Kokomo, Ronald from Atlanta, Yvette from Champaign, Adam and Terry from Rossville, and Georgiana from Champaign-Urbana.
It's terrific. We are so pleased with the response and results we're getting on our Tipping Point Wednesday here. And when you make your pledge call of support to call 217-244-9455, you can become a sustaining friend of WILL. And what that means is that you make a commitment to a monthly budget-friendly contribution, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever fits your budget. And it's ongoing support, and that little bit each month adds up over the course of a year to significant support for your local public radio station. So you also don't get renewal notices in the mail. We don't have to send reminders. So it's an efficient way for you to support your station without it being intrusive or overwhelming. It can be at times with all the mail going in and out. So an easy way to do it, if you're an employee of the University of Illinois like I am, you can sign up for payroll deduction continuous, and then it just comes out of my paycheck every month, and it's a small enough amount that I don't miss it, but I know that WILL is receiving significant support at the end of the year. If you're not a University of Illinois employee, we have electronic funds transfer, the world's easiest way to make a pledge. You write 1 month's personal, your payment on a personal check, you fill out the form, and you're done. So very simple. We encourage you to get on board and get involved today.
And what's neat, Heather, is of the 7 people who've called during this 10 o'clock hour Focus, we had 5 were existing members and 2 were new, which is great.
That is great.
So we love that people who are already existing members are pledging again to help us get that $120,000 goal, which then will stop this on-air drive. And I love that 2 people who've been listeners decided for the first time to become a member. Yeah. And that's great. We'll take you as a new member who's been a listener, and we'll take those who are already members who can give a little bit more. I would like us to get to $63,000 by 11 o'clock. We're at $62,570. So that's just $430 more by 11 o'clock. We can do that with your pledge right now at 217-244-9455. 9455 or do that online anytime. But if you do it now, you'll help us reach that goal of $63,000 raised. And you can do that by going to willpledge.org.
Okay, now's the moment. You've heard it. Let's go back and hear a little more from Jim and Jeremy.
I'm Jim Meadows on Focus, and my guest today is Jeremy Hobson of Marketplace Morning Report. And in July, with Here and Now joining our AM 580 schedule, it'll be on from noon until 2 on weekdays. And, of course, Jeremy Hobson has a long background with WILL when he was a lot younger. We still have a few minutes to the talk. The number here is 333-9455, 800-222-9455. I'm wondering, I'm looking, Jeremy, at the Marketplace, the marketplace.org website, and looking at the web version, actually the text version, of the interview you did on this morning's program with Walmart's departing image man, Leslie Dotch, if I'm even close on his last name.
Doc,
thank you very much. And I'm just wondering, the way that the media has changed just over the past decade, do you think of programs like Marketplace or Here and Now as radio shows first, or just programs that exist in a lot of different ways?
No, I think they're radio shows first. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're doing radio, and but they have taken on a new importance because, you know, as we were talking about, the newspaper industry, which traditionally has been the sort of primary source of news for Americans, is shrinking, and or it's moving online, and it's becoming different than it was. And I think that public radio has taken on a new importance. And you know, one of the things about then tying it to what you just brought up with this Walmart executive that we had on the show this morning, I think that it's important for us on Marketplace to take advantage of the fact that we have a very big audience every morning, and we are the public radio business program to bring on the players from the major companies. I mean, in the last few weeks, we had I've interviewed the CEO of Airbus, the CEO of a company called Biogen, which is a big biomedical pharmaceutical firm in Massachusetts. We've talked to this Walmart executive. So I like to make sure that we are bringing on experts and people who can offer analysis, but also talking to the primary sources. And I think that the shows, all of the shows in public radio these days, are starting to move into that world, which is, you know what, we're one of the big news sources now. We need to make sure that we're not just talking to secondary sources, that we are bringing on the people that are making the decisions and asking them about those decisions.
That is, I guess, a dramatic change over the 40-something year history of public broadcasting. And if you looked at the early years of All Things Considered, for example, I think you'd see a program that was trying to find the angles that the mainstream broadcasters didn't touch. Now NPR, for better or worse, is a mainstream broadcaster, and it's still trying to find those different angles. But but public broadcasting in general is in a different place from where it was in the 1970s.
Yeah, I think that there has to be a mix. I mean, the way that you put it is exactly that. You know, finding the different angles that the mainstream media is not looking at, that is incredibly important for us to do. And I sometimes don't like to consume other media on various stories because I want to make sure that I'm not being influenced by the same line of questioning or the same storyline that everybody else is. We need to make sure that we're asking different questions. But we are also the source of record on a lot of things, and we need to make sure that we are living up to that as well. So I think, you know, there are 24 hours in the day. There's a lot of public radio programming out there, and we can do all of these things. But we do need to, I think it's important to bring on the primary sources.
You're now Marketplace Morning Report is going to continue and continue on WYLL after you leave the organization. How much longer will you be with Marketplace?
Just another week and 2 days. Next Friday is my last day on Marketplace Morning Report. They have not announced who the next host will be, but I think that they're close, and I think that listeners will be very happy. I'm sure that they will with whoever they put in.
Is there any big business luminary you were hoping to get that is still out of reach to get on the program?
Well, I mean, yes, I would really like to interview. Well, I would love to interview Mark Zuckerberg. We've been trying to get him for a long time. I would love to interview Tim Cook at Apple. We've been trying to get him for a long time. But these are people that, you know, they don't have to, they don't do interviews that often, and they don't have to do interviews that often. One of the things I learned when I moved from covering Washington to covering Wall Street is that in Washington, mainly the people that you would want to interview are public representatives, and they kind of have an obligation to talk to the public. But on Wall Street, you know, these guys don't have to talk to anybody if they don't want to. So it's a lot trickier, and I'm very proud of the people that we've been able to get. I mentioned Warren Buffett. I've talked to Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Richard Branson, Bill Gates, Melinda Gates. We've talked to a lot of really powerful people, and I'm really happy about that. But there are some that just have been very difficult to pin down.
Now, as a co-host of Here and Now, you could potentially try for all of these people, but you'll be working a much wider field now at Here and Now.
Yeah, it won't just be business and economics. It's going to be everything. I think you know, that's one of the things that's going to be a big challenge is you know, can I learn how to interview an artist or you know, or an athlete, and make it work the same way that my interviews with business leaders work on Marketplace. The thing that makes me feel good about that is that on Marketplace, and I think anybody who listens to the show on a daily basis would know that we aren't just covering business and economics. We're trying to look at the whole world through the prism of business and economics. So we end up doing a lot of stories that are only very thinly connected to money, but it is going to be a new challenge to go into the broader world of Here and Now.
Well, Jeremy Hobson, congratulations on the new gig, and we look forward to hearing you on Here and Now here on AM 580 beginning July 1st.
Thanks, Jim. It's been great being on. You know, I thought that because Treehouse Radio was on before the internet was invented, that maybe I would never hear those tapes again. But thank you for bringing them back into everybody's ears.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. And we've been talking today with Jeremy Hobson, public broadcaster and Urbana native. He anchors the Marketplace Morning Report for another week or so, and in July he'll be the new co-host on Here and Now, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. Welcome any additional thoughts you have about today's program on our website. You can go directly to it at will.illinois.edu/focus. We are likely the first result in your search engine under WYLL Focus. Remember, Focus is live each weekday morning at 10 on WYLL AM 580. There's a replay at 8 p.m. In addition to that, you can hear the show streamed online at will.illinois.edu. You can listen to years of past Focus programs. It's also available as a free downloadable podcast. Visit the Focus page of our website, will.illinois.edu/focus. Tomorrow on the show, David Grotto returns to help us steer through the maze of food marketing out there and figure out which foods are really good to eat. This is Focus on WYLL.